Acts, how many times the word three appears?
Guess how many? 17 times. They're not the same. They're not the same places that we've studied, but it is found three times, and then there's like five times the word third is there, and one time it's third, and what's the other terms there? Oh, it's five times third, and thrice was the one time where Peter saw that vision thrice. Anyhow, Acts chapter 13, we're going to begin our last look at this, and I actually believe this is the most important. It'll give you a real clear understanding of the book of Acts, and we were saying the reason we were studying the threes in the book of Acts in the first place was to see the hand of God in turning from the nation of Israel and turning to the Gentiles, and that's the book of Acts is a transition book for pointing that out. Excuse me. Allow me to read the first five verses, where you should be familiar with them by now, of Acts chapter 13. It says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mahaden, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered unto the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they went forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed unto Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." Let's pray. Our God and Father, we do pray that as we look at these things again in the book of Acts, these threes that your Holy Spirit have put here for us to notice, that we will get the lesson of what the book of Acts is about, to understand that there has been a transition, and that transition is long over, that we live in the dispensation of your grace, revealed to the Apostle Paul for us Gentiles, and may we take heed to the warning that we'll conclude with today. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You might take out, if you have a Bible, maps in the back of your Bible, you might be looking at a map of the journeys of Paul. But in the pew Bibles that are in front of you, particularly I looked at them, map number 7 and map number 8. Map number 7 will take you through the first two apostolic ministries of the Apostle Paul. Those maps, like all other maps, call them missionary journeys. Paul wasn't a missionary when he's sent forth by God and the Holy Spirit sending him forth, as we just read in this passage. He's an apostle being sent to the Gentiles. You'll see all through the book of Acts, he first goes to the Jews, and you'll hopefully, as we conclude today, we'll understand why he's doing that. He has a ministry that's unique to the beginning of his ministry that's found in the book of Acts. But map 7 will show his first and second apostolic ministry, and then map number 8 will show the third apostolic ministry and his voyage from Jerusalem, Caesarea, and then finally over to Rome. That's, that fourth one is actually he's a prisoner being sent to Rome and how he ends up in Rome. And that will be helpful. So you need to maybe be able to look at that map. I think it's helpful because just in our scripture reading here that we see he's leaving from Antioch in verse 1. And if you'll look at one of those maps, like map number 7 there, you'll notice if you go straight north from Jerusalem, there's a place called Antioch. I think it's the second bold city mentioned there. That Antioch is in the country of Syria. And that's where Paul has been since chapter 11. He's been there ministering to that church of Antioch, and now they're sending him out to fulfill the ministry he's been called to do. He wasn't called just to be the pastor of Antioch. He's an apostle, but Antioch seems to be his headquarters, as you'll see when he launches. From there, they sent him out, and he comes back and reports to them, at least on the first apostolic ministry. So he's being sent from Antioch, Syria, and then as he leaves there, you see that he goes into Cyprus in verse 4. And you'll see Cyprus is just that island just west of Antioch there. And they go from one end of that island to the other. They start at Salamis, which is on the eastern end of the island, and then they travel to the western end of the island, and that actually in our study picks up in Acts chapter 13. Now here's what we're going to do. I want to take you through these three apostolic ministries of Paul. Actually, the fourth, not so much an apostolic, the fourth journey is actually a journey where he is a prisoner going to Rome. So we're going to look at the travels of the Apostle Paul. We're going to do it quite quickly, even though we'll just jump around through several passages in the book of Acts. But that'll not only teach you a lesson, but it'll also prepare you for the next thing that we're going to study, the three times the Holy Spirit would have us see that he's turning from Israel to the Gentiles, clearly just spelled out for us, and that's an important part to the book of Acts. We'll see how that develops the outline of the book of Acts, and then I want to conclude with a warning that's going to come out of the book of Romans. So first of all, let's just do some traveling with the Apostle Paul. We got him over there in the island of Cyprus, and in your Bible study there in Acts chapter 13, verse 6, we've already studied the fact that when he was on that island, that Sergius Paulus, that the Elymaeus the Jew tried to stop Sergius Paulus from hearing the gospel, Paul blinded him and so forth. If you look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, "And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." And now they're going to have an opportunity, after the prophets are read, they're going to have an opportunity to stand up and speak, and Paul's now going to speak in a synagogue at Antioch of Pisidia. So if you're looking at that map, notice that if you go out of the western end of Cyprus and go straight north, you're going into a region that's later in your Bible called the region of Galatia. It's actually southern Galatia, as there's a northern Galatia and a southern Galatia. But he comes to an Antioch, but notice that's a different Antioch. That's not the Antioch he left from. That's now Antioch Pisidia. And he's there, and he preaches, and we're going to come back to that, some of that statement about his preaching there. But that's where he is, as he's now going into that region of Galatia. So he's there, and then if you go to chapter 14 of the book of Acts, in verse 1, if you read all the detail, almost every place he's going to go, eventually the Jews get the Gentiles to work against him and run him out of town. So he's now going to leave Antioch Pisidia, and you come to Acts chapter 14 and verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went together into the synagogue of the Jews, so to speak, that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." And it'll be important for you to realize, as Paul goes into a synagogue of the Jews, he's out among the Gentiles, and yet he goes into a synagogue of the Jews, and there's Gentiles in those synagogues. In fact, what it is Gentiles who got tired of paganism, realizing that they're believing in stones and rocks and wood and gold and silver and idols, that Israel talks about a true and living God in heaven. So there's some Gentiles who are seeking to know who God is, and so they got the way they were to know God is through the nation of Israel. So they're finding their way in the synagogues, and they're allowed to sit in the back of the synagogue. And Paul, when he gets in and addresses, he's not only addressing Jews, he's addressing those Gentiles in that synagogue. You'll see that when we go to that preaching again, which is the next part. But I just wanted you to see that he's now in Iconium, and you can look around the map there and see that these cities are pretty close together. As he leaves Antioch Pisidia, he goes into Iconium. And then from there, down in verse 6, it says, "And when they were aware of it," the Jews are now going to chase them out of that place, "when they were aware of it, they fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about." And so they go in these areas of Lystra and Derbe, and the events, the verses that follow are going to tell us what takes place in those areas. And one of those is that this is where the Apostle Paul healed that lame man that we studied, and they thought he was Mercury's and Barnabas was Jupiter, and they were going to offer a sacrifice, and Paul stops them from offering a sacrifice. But when he stopped them from offering a sacrifice, the Jews finally, from all the way from Antioch Pisidia and from Iconium, followed him there to Lystra, and then got the Gentiles to work against them and drug them out of the city and left them. Look at verse 19, Acts 14, verse 19. "And there came hither certain of the Jews from Antioch and from Iconium and persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." So they thought they killed him, left him outside the city to rot. Verse 20 says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas unto Derbe." So they thought he was dead, and we don't know if he was dead or not. And interestingly, that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul says, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, he was caught up into the third heaven, is the same time period that this is talking about. And he doesn't know if he was dead or not, if this is the same event that takes place. But anyhow, you can see a miracle is taking place, because even if he wasn't dead, he was just left for dead, he is able to travel the next day. So there's a complete healing of his body after he's been stoned, and God had more purpose for him, so he moves and he goes into Derbe the next day with Barnabas. Verse 21, it says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many people, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that they must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them unto the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Poseida, they came to Pamphylia. When they had preached, they went into Perga. They went down to Attaleia and sailed into Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God to the work that they had fulfilled. And when they were come together with the church, the church came together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they abode there long time with the disciples." So he made full circle. He's come all the way back to Antioch in Syria here, and gave a report, talked about how God opened the door. As they traveled these places, Gentiles were believing in these areas. So he starts out going in a synagogue of the Jews, but Gentiles are the ones that are becoming believers as he's traveling around. And so there's rejoicing that takes place. You might also see that even though they drove Paul out of all those cities, and even one city left him, stoned him and left him for dead, he goes back into those cities and meets again with the believers, and then appoints them elders in every city, because now they're going to have a church, a grace church in every city. And so Paul commends them to the Lord, where the Lord now is going to work through those elders to continue to minister to those saints. And there's these grace churches that are established in that area of Galatia. And that concludes Paul's first apostolic ministry. Now, chapter 15 is where he goes to Jerusalem and reports about his ministry to the Gentiles. And that's where the 12 apostles are brought up to date with Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. And then at the end of chapter 15, look at verse 36. It says, "And some days after," now Paul had gone down to Jerusalem, he's back in Antioch, "some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do.'" So it's been a long time now. Paul wants to go back to that area of Galatia. Barnabas wants to bring Mark, and there's a big fight, and Paul and Barnabas break fellowship here. Barnabas takes Mark and goes to Cyprus. And down in verse 40, it says, "Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." So now there's grace churches in Syria and Cilicia. Remember, Cilicia is where he had been ever since Acts chapter 9, before he went to Antioch, Syria. But there's grace churches in those areas. He goes there, and then in chapter 16, he goes now through that area of Galatia, where he had been before. And now he's got Silas with him. But I want you to pick up in chapter 16 and verse 6. It says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now that would be the western end of that, where you see that area of Galatia on your map, that western end, they weren't allowed to go there. That's where Ephesus is, Colossae's there, and Laodicea, some other cities that are there. The Holy Spirit won't let Paul preach there at this time, because Ephesus is there. Later, Paul's going to preach at Ephesus. But during this time, the Holy Spirit forbids him to go there. Verse 7 says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed, this is what they thought they do, to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed through Mysia, came down to Troas." Now they're at that coast, that northern coastline of what we call Turkey today. "And a vision appeared to Paul at night, in night, there stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we, Luke joins him, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Nicopolis, and from there, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city certain days. Now, there's a whole bunch of things, details here, but what I want you to see, this is called the Macedonian call. After Paul had gone through the area of Galatia, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him minister anymore in that area. But finally, he gets a vision to go cross that sea, it was at the Aegean Sea there, and to go into Macedonia. Macedonia, you might see Philippi, because when he gets inland, when he gets on the coastline, he actually goes inland, goes straight to Philippi. And he's now going to minister in Philippi. Now, there's a reason he goes to Philippi. It's a colony. It's a Roman colony, so it's a major city. And Paul had a strategy that if you go to the major cities and get some people saved, they'll take the message to the smaller cities. And that's exactly what Dan Gross, when he is going to India, realizing what he's doing and meeting in certain major cities with some preachers there that know something about Christ. And he's teaching them the gospel of grace so that they'll go throughout the smaller areas of India and reach the rest of the people. And he learned that from studying Paul's ministry here. But anyhow, Paul's now in Macedonia. That northern area of that peninsula over there, Macedonia is the northern part. As you move down, you'll see Thessalonica and Berea and those areas. And then as you go to the southern part, that's called Achaia. So there's Macedonia and Achaia. Achaia is where Corinth is, Athens, Greece is at. So now Paul's going to be, he's in that territory, and he's ministering as we go through Acts chapter 16. You remember the story of the Philippian jailer. He was thrown in jail at Philippi. That ends that ministry there. If you come over to chapter 17 of Acts in verse 1, it says, now when they had preached, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, reasoning with them out of the Scriptures, and opening, alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preached unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. And then there comes trouble. So you see, some of the Jews are believing, but a whole bunch of Gentiles are believing as Paul has this ministry. And then he has Thessalonica 3 weeks, and he had run out of that city. Timothy had joined him in this ministry now, and Silas, they go back and minister. Paul, notice down in verse 10, it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and These are more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, and of the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So they're having good success here. I read verse 11 to you because a lot of times grace churches, we take the name grace because that's Paul's message and that's the dispensation we live in. We are a grace church. But some people that teach the same thing of us, many of them call themselves Berean. And they take it from verse 11 that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica and that they searched the Scriptures daily. They like that. They like being called a Berean because they're people who search the Scriptures and they have readiness to believe the things that are there in the Scriptures. So a great compliment to the Bereans there. Paul's in Berea. Down in verse 15, he leaves Silas there. He goes into Athens and he preaches in Athens. And then you come to chapter 18 and verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And now Paul's in the city of Corinth. And I want you to see that when he's in that city of Corinth, verse 9, it says, then spake the Lord to Paul in a vision by night, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now that brings his second apostolic ministry to a conclusion, because he stays at Corinth for a year and a half. And after being chased out of all them cities, the Lord kind of encourages him, says, okay, you're safe here, Paul. No one's going to hurt you. And Paul there now is going to minister there for a year and a half. That's the end of the second apostolic ministry the Apostle Paul had. Then the third apostolic ministry, what takes place is when Paul leaves there, he's going to go to Jerusalem to fulfill a vow. We're not going to talk about all that. But he stopped at Ephesus, and the people at Ephesus said, hey, preach more to us. He said, well, I'll come back. So in chapter 19, after he leaves Jerusalem, if you look at your map, he walked from Jerusalem north back through Syria, north through Cilicia, through the regions of Galatia, until he came to that area of Ephesus. And he came to the city of Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, and that's where he had those disciples of John that we talked about last week. So now in chapter 19, verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. Now we talked about those disciples, so drop down to verse 8. It says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly by the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. But when diverse were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So he preaches to the Jews. They're not hearing it. He goes to a school of Tyrannus, and he has freedom to preach there. He teaches for 2 years, and as a result, from Ephesus, one of the interesting things, we can study the book of Colossians, Paul never went to Colossae. And yet that's a major city with faithful saints and some of the most mature information about the age of grace and the revelation of grace given to the Colossian saints. And Paul never been there. Because when he ministered at Ephesus, the people he taught took the word to those other places. And so that was Paul's ministry. And this is where, at that point, some special miracles take place. Paul stays there a whole nother year after that verse 10 there. And those special miracles take place, and there's a riot that takes place and all of that. But what I want you to see is in chapter 19 there, if you drop down to verse 21, it says, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I had been there, I must see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. There's that third year. Now, the reason I read that verse 21, we're not going to study the movement of the third apostolic ministry, but when he made that statement that he's going to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and he's eventually going to go to Jerusalem, what he's planning at this point while he's at Ephesus, he says, the whole point is, you read about this in Romans, is that he's going to take a contribution from all these grace churches that got established. He's going to take money from them and bring that money to the poor saints that are at Jerusalem as a way of Gentile blessing the Jews because of the grace that's out among the Gentiles. And don't forget, the Jews, when we started out the book of Acts, they sold their land and their possessions and laid them at the apostles' feet because the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and it's no longer at hand. And now they're poor. But the Gentiles are going to reimburse those saints because of the grace that's out among them. God has postponed the ministry, the purpose for the nation of Israel until a future date. So when Paul makes that statement about passing through, that's what he's doing. He's taking up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem so that the chapters that follow, Paul is not going through Gentile land, collecting, and the treasurer of all the churches, probably a couple treasurer from each church, are traveling with Paul because there's a whole lot of money traveling with him, and there's thieves on the way, but there's like a caravan going with him to Jerusalem. And in chapter 21, he comes to Jerusalem, presents the money to James and the elders that are there, and that's that third apostolic ministry of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. But as you probably know, when he got there, the unbelieving Jews, they hate Paul, especially in Jerusalem, and he's now under arrest. They were trying to kill him. The Romans took him to protect him. But he's under arrest all the way through the end of the book of Acts. But in order to save himself from a plan to execute him, he appealed to Caesar. And God's going to make sure that he makes it to Caesar. A couple verses I want you to see, though. If you look at chapter 23, verse 11. This is after he first got arrested in Jerusalem. And they're doing everything to try to kill him. It says in chapter 23, verse 11, it says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." So Paul don't look like he's ever going to get to Rome, but now God's telling him, look, you bore witness here, but I'm going to make you sure you get to Rome. God had a purpose for Paul to get to Rome. So he assures Paul he's going to make it there. In fact, as he eventually appeals to Caesar, and because he's a Roman citizen, they're going to send him, they actually put him on a ship as a prisoner with other prisoners heading to Rome. There's almost going to be a shipwreck that's going to take place as he's going. Come to chapter 27. And God assures Paul and those that are on board the ship with Paul that they're not going to die, even though they can't control the ship. They're in a storm. They've been there for days, not eating or anything. But verse 22 of Acts 27, it says, Paul's explaining to the people on the ship why they can relax, why they can eat. He says, "And now I exhort you, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of a man's life among you, but the ship." The ship's going to get destroyed. "But for there stood by me this night and the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." That is, he belongs to God and he serves God. And here's what the angel of God said to him, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." There's a definition of faith. What is believing God? That what God said, it's going to be. And so Paul encourages them that not only is he going to make it to Rome, that none of them are going to die, even though it looks like they're all going to die. But again, the Lord tells Paul, you're going to stand before Caesar. Now when you read 2 Timothy, Paul stood before Caesar, gave the gospel right to Caesar, to all that stood in the Roman governments. He was able to preach the gospel there. But the assurance that he is going to make it. When you come over to Acts chapter 28 and verse 16. It says, And when we were come to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. So they actually gave him a house to live in at Rome. He didn't have to go in a dungeon. Later on, he's going to be thrown into a dungeon and chained. That's when you read when you read Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He's chained. He's bound. He's not free like this. But when he first gets to Rome, they actually treat him pretty well. They give him a house to live in, just put a guard by the house, and Paul has some free course there. But he made it to Rome. So those are the journeys of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. I want you to see that because apparently that's what the book of Acts is all about. It leaves Paul in Rome. But now in those things, now if you look at what we just looked at, first of all, we saw the beginning of the book of Acts, the kingdom saints selling their possession because the kingdom of heaven's at hand. But the testimony of the book of Acts is God turned from Israel, raised up the Apostle Paul and turned to the Gentiles in the dispensation of grace and postponed his dealings with the nation of Israel. So now here's the Gentiles giving money to the poor saints at Jerusalem because of the change in program, because of the dispensation of grace. So an important thing to see there that of how grace became a blessing to the Jews that are at Jerusalem, that things had changed, but God took care of those people. The other thing is, the reason I had you look at that map, I want you to see where Paul's traveling. He's first in that area, he goes west, not only Cyprus, but he ministers in that area called the region of Galatia. Then the next time he goes out, he starts out at Galatia, and the Holy Spirit gives him a vision, go over here into Macedonia. So he goes further west into Macedonia. After he had ministry there, eventually he comes back and has a ministry at Ephesus. And then when he brings that contribution to Jerusalem, God makes it clear to Paul, no, you got to make it to Rome too. And then the next part of that is he finally goes all the way to Rome. That's even further west. Interesting, you study the gospel movement in church history. It kept going west after Rome. Comes up into England and all, where we have the King James Bible. They get on ships and come over to America. America comes the place of evangelism. Just keeps going west. Often wonder if it's going to go all the way around and come back before the age of grace is over. But anyhow, I want you to see those three regions, because it's important. Because in each one of those regions, there is a statement that Paul makes to the Jews about God turning to the Gentiles. Go back to Acts chapter 13. Remember, he's in Antioch Poseidon in Acts chapter 13. And we're not going to study his message, but there, one that I quoted this so many times during the series, because here's where you hear Paul not just talk about Jesus is the Christ, but he talks about the cross work of Christ. He says in Acts 13, verse 38, he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," he's preached about the Lord Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him," notice the phrase, "all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." So he's preaching the gospel of the grace of God, that through Jesus Christ we can be forgiven of our sins. But remember, he's standing in a synagogue of the Jews, and he's saying all who believe can be justified from all things. And there's some Gentiles in that synagogue. Notice verse 40, it starts out with a warning, "Beware, therefore." So he's going to warn the Jews that God's going to do something you won't believe, though it's going to happen. Even I'm going to tell you about it. And then in verse 42, it says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought him that these words might be preached to him, to them the next Sabbath." So you have the Jews receiving a warning, and you have the Gentiles saying, "Hey, Paul, preach to us next week." So next week comes, verse 44, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Now, if you're out among the Gentiles, and there's a synagogue of the Jews, that's the minority. If the whole city is coming together, now there's more Gentiles than there are Jews. Because they realize Paul had a message for Gentiles, and all who believe can be justified from all things. Well, this makes the Jews jealous that God would turn to the Gentiles, that they have just as much right to hear the message as they do. So when it says in verse 45, "When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul." Notice two things: contradicting and blaspheming. They're blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ, that he is not the Savior of the world and Savior of all mankind. There's the Jews blaspheming. We talked about them blaspheming down in Jerusalem and that God turned away from the Jews. Now here's Jews out in that region of Galatia contradicting and blaspheming. They don't want Gentiles to hear this message, and they don't want it themselves. Look at verse 46. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word should first have been spoken unto you." Now that's interesting. He had to do it this way. I'll give an explanation. But anyhow, it says that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, "but seeing that you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life." Ooh-wee. What a statement to make. You don't think you're worth everlasting life? I mean, what a sarcastic way. At least that's how I think he put it. Anyhow, he says, "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." That means the Gentiles, the whole God ordained Gentile salvation. "And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." So there's Paul in that area of Galatia, and there's a statement made to the Jews that you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. God has said, I have to first say it to you, then I'm free to turn to the Gentiles." And he turned to the Gentiles. But you know, not only do I want you to see God turning to the Gentiles, clearly what the book of Acts is all about, but I want you to see the Gentile response. The Gentiles were glad. there's great rejoicing. Even the fact that they could hear something, they all showed up, and when they heard they could be saved, they're rejoicing. Keep that in mind, will you? So anyhow, that's in that area of Galatia. In the second apostolic ministry, Paul went over into Macedonia and Achaia. Corinth is in the south end of that. It's in Achaia. Come over to chapter 18. Acts 18, verse 8. No, well, I'll start in verse 4. I'm going to end in verse 8. In verse 4 it says, here's Paul, he's in the city of Corinth. He says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves, they're not going to believe the message. You don't believe the message, you work against yourself. So that when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, here we go again, Jews are blaspheming the name of Christ. He shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a synagogue, into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. It's like a duplex right next door. So Paul's got a church right next door to the synagogue. And it says, and Crispus. Now remember, Paul baptized a few at Corinth. That's one of those guys. Notice who he is. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. You think the ones getting baptized were Jews? I think so. But that's another study, another time. Then God tells Paul, look, you can stay here, and he's going to minister that year and a half. But notice again, the Jews reject the message, they blaspheme, and Paul says, no, I'm clean. My hands are clean from your blood. Your blood's on your own heads. You turned down the message, you opposed yourself. I'm turning to the Gentiles. And when he turned to the Gentiles, there's many, as you read there in verse, 9 and so forth, the Lord said, I have many people in this place. And Paul ministers a year and a half, and the many are the Gentiles that are coming to be believers at Corinth. So the Gentiles are, again, receiving the message. The Jews reject the message. So then Paul finally makes it to Rome. Come over to Acts chapter 28. Now, 16, we read verse 16 where he arrived at Rome. Now, here's what he did when he first got to Rome, verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, there we go, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when he had examined me, would have let me go because they found that there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught against to accuse my own nation. For this cause, therefore, have I called for thee to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel am I bound with these chains. Let me a quick explanation to that. Paul, when he was arrested, and the Romans are trying to figure out why he was arrested, put him in a council of the Jews, who were half Pharisees and half Sadducees. And Paul looked at that and said, He said, I'm a Pharisee. I believe in the resurrection of Christ. And the Jews just went bananas and started fighting each other. Paul caught in the middle. Rome had to deliver him out. When he says, for the hope of Israel, he's not ministering the kingdom program. He's talking about he's arrested and been held by Rome because he believed in the resurrection that the Jews were allowed to believe in. And that the hope of Israel is resurrection. So that's what he means by that statement. So anyhow, but what you see him doing is he's talking to the Jews that are Rome, and he wants them to understand, I'm not against my people. So verse 21, it says, And they said unto him, we have neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed and spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, We know that everywhere it is spoken against. Now, that has to do with believing in Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. He was the Messiah of Israel. And they said, now, we don't have anything against you either, but we hear you're teaching something everywhere. We want to hear what you have to say. So verse 13, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Now that... Yeah, thank you. Verse 23. The Jews met with him. He's showing them out of the law of Moses concerning Jesus Christ and out of the prophets from morning till evening. Verse 23. Now, to think about that. He can start in the morning, preach all the way to evening, and he's going through all the Old Testament scriptures pointing out who Jesus Christ is so that they would believe that Jesus is the Christ. What was their response? Verse 25. Well, verse 24. Some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Now, here, this breaks up the study. Here's what Paul concluded at the end of the book of Acts, his last statement to the Jews. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet, that's Isaiah, unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. I mean, all day long he showed them scriptures. And they didn't decide to believe. And seeing ye shall see and not perceive. I showed you. Verse 27. Here's the reason they couldn't understand and didn't see. It wasn't in the scriptures. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. It's calloused. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So Israel wouldn't, their heart is bad, and they won't receive the message. And so Paul said, Isaiah was right in speaking about you people. But look at verse 28. Be it known unto you, therefore, that the salvation of God is sent, not will be, it already has been, is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Would the Jews hear it? No. Would the Gentiles hear it? Yes. And again, for the third time, God turned from Israel to the Gentiles. Do you notice he did that in three different regions? He did that in the region of Galatia, he did it in the region of Macedonia and Achaia, and then he did it in the region of Rome, showing that throughout the whole world, God had turned from Israel to the Gentiles, and now it's known throughout the whole world. That's what the book of Acts is all about. Acts chapter 1 through 7 is the fall of the Jews at Jerusalem. In chapters 8 through 12, God raised up the apostle Paul to go to the Gentiles, and Acts 13 through 28 is in an indictment. The book of Acts is not where we get our doctrine. We see God turning to the Gentiles, but it's actually an indictment against the unbelieving part of the nation of Israel that they have rejected, and that God has turned from them to the Gentiles and has postponed his wrath, because when Israel rejected, it was supposed to be a time of wrath. But instead, it's a time of grace going out to the Gentiles. That's the purpose of the book of Acts. And you see that all of a sudden the book of Acts comes to an abrupt ending, because the Holy Spirit's purpose in inspiring Luke to write the book of Acts was to make this known and seen. Now, if you want to know what God has to say to the Gentiles, you go to Paul's epistles, and the next book is the book of Romans. But I'd like to conclude by taking you to Romans chapter 11. Remember what it said in Acts 28? The salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. As we went through with Paul through those journeys, Gentiles in abundance were receiving the message and believing it. They were rejoicing in it. Many are being saved. And the conclusion is, they will hear it. There is an extreme warning in Romans chapter 11 to us Gentiles. And people get messed up in chapter 11. I want you to understand that even though the Bible is written to believers, Sometimes there's things in the Bible that are actually addressed to people in general. And yeah, I can point this out to you in Romans 11. Look at verse 13. He says, "For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." When Paul says, "I speak unto you Gentiles," he's not talking about believers there. When you're a believer in the body of Christ, you're neither a Jew nor a Gentile, but you're now a member of the body of Christ. When Paul's talking, using the word Gentile here as a generic term, not Israel, he's not sent to Israel, he's sent to the Gentiles. He's the apostle to the Gentiles with the message to the Gentiles, but Gentiles just means the people of other nations, other than the Jews. And then he says in verse 14, "If by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh," that would be the Jews, "and save some of them." So as he's preaching to the Gentiles, there are some Jews that believe, but they come in like a Gentile comes in by the grace of God and get saved. Now, I just want to point out to you when Paul says, "I speak unto you Gentiles," as we're reading this chapter, Paul is talking about Jews in general and Gentiles in general. He's going to use an illustration about some of the branches when God is dealing with the Jews being broken off. The ones that are broken off are the unbelieving Jews. So when he refers to the Jews, there's believing Jews. They're not broken off from God. But unbelieving Jews are broken off from God. But I want to pick up in verse 19. He says, "Thou wilt say," now remember he's writing to Gentiles in general, "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. So that's the lost Jews. "And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear." Standeth by faith means that you have a standing because you're willing to believe this message. God's turned to you because you will hear it. So don't get bragging that you're somebody special. They were broken off for your sake. No, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you have this standing on the basis of faith. But notice the next words. I'm going to start in verse 20. "Well, because of unbelief thou were broken off, thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear." I wanted you to get that part of that verse. See, they're kind of bragging that, "Oh, they were broken off for me." Don't get high-minded about this. "For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee." Uh-oh, there's a warning here. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell," the nation of Israel fell, right? Severity. They're cut off from God as a nation, as his covenant people right now. They're not his people anymore during this age of grace. "But toward thee," the Gentiles, "goodness." Notice the word "if." "If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." Now when God had cut off Israel, who did he cut off? The unbelievers. Gentiles are willing to hear, but he warns, yeah, if you continue in his goodness, God will continue to minister to you. But he's given them a warning, so it continues on. It says, again in verse 22, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off." That would be unbelieving Gentiles no longer given an opportunity to be saved in the dispensation of grace. "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief," if all of a sudden the Jews want to now believe, "shall be grafted in," for God is able to graft them in again. "For if thou were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature," that's the Gentiles, "and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree," into God, "how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." It gets the point here. That what the Apostle Paul is warning these Gentiles is, yes, Israel's cut off because of unbelief. Don't get high-minded about that. You have a standing by faith if you continue in his goodness. But if you don't continue in his goodness, you don't want the salvation message anymore, and Israel starts responding to God, he'll just cut you right off, take Israel, graft them back in their own olive tree, and fulfill his promise to them, and the fullness of the Gentiles will come in. That blindness in part has happened to Israel. That's why we call it postponement. In part, because it's only the unbelieving part of the nation that's blinded, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. The Gentiles are going to come into their fullness. The believers of the Gentiles will come into their fullness at the rapture, into what God has called us to. And then God's going to go back and finish his dealing with Israel and bring wrath upon this earth and his kingdom on this earth as he has promised. My point to you, the book of Acts, Gentiles were thrilled to hear this message. God had never turned to them all these years. Now God turned to the Gentiles and they're receiving the message. What country can you walk in today and preach Christ and everybody gets so excited that they want to hear it? Are there places where you can go and preach Christ and the Gentiles are responding to the goodness of God? Remember Romans 2, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That you walk in and start preaching salvation and the Gentiles, oh, this is wonderful, I'll believe in Jesus Christ. If the Gentiles have a deaf ear like the nation of Israel, no longer willing to hear the gospel message, God says, okay, that's the end of the age of grace. Fullness of the Gentiles come in, I'm going to rapture the church out, and then I'm going to go back and deal with the nation of Israel and bring the end of the world in. That's a warning in Romans chapter 11. What started out in the book of Acts isn't going to go on forever. And we live in a day that I wonder why grace hasn't already ended. There's still some people willing to hear, and God is still being gracious. How much longer he'll be gracious, I have no idea. Our job is to keep preaching. Some might hear and be saved, but there is not an openness among Gentiles to receive the message today. And there's a warning here in Scriptures. Don't be high-minded. God can just flip this right back around, and he will someday do so. So that's the message that we learned in the book of Acts. God turned to the Gentiles, and the warning is, how long, we don't know. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for our gathering here, and we thank you that we have responded to the message of your grace, have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and have been justified from all things, forgiven of all of our sins, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where he paid for them all. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you're still extending grace. It's still this opportunity for others to believe. Help us to do our job as ambassadors to get that message out, because it's soon coming to an end, as we can clearly see. But we thank you that your grace still extends, because you're not willing that any should perish, that your will is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Help us to be faithful to the message till you call us home and we come into that fullness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.